You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I can lay awake just to see you breathing. Watch you smile while you were sleeping. While you're far away and dreaming. I could spend my life in the sweet surrender.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
That's a hot mess.
That is Tyson Fury. After
that is
his,
just a hot mess.
After his win last night, that's how we should have boxing matches end. You can break into a little song. Do your best Steven Tyler impression. Singing Aerosmith right there. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was 92.9thegame.com came out. You described the look. I didn't see him when he came out. He had a almost like a tarp over him covering up the outfit he wore. And when he took it off, he had the Apollo Creed look from, was it Rocky 1 or Rocky 2?
Ooh, this is well,
I think it was the second one.
Yeah, it was the second one?
Yeah, where he dressed up like Uncle Sam, had the big top hat and all that and the shorts. So anyway, that's how Tyson Fury came out. And then the match wasn't. You know, not all that much.
Less than two full rounds.
So you figure give him the money's worth. He sang a song afterwards. You get dinner and a show.
So Vegas. You're in Vegas.
Hey, listen.
You know.
Exactly. Give them their money's worth.
That was it.
But now I want to watch him box again. He did exactly what needed to happen in boxing. When he gets ready to fight again, I'm going to make a point of wanting to, if I can, I'm watching him box. He doesn't have a belt. He's going for a belt.
Yeah,
well, let's wait and see what happens.
He won a championship last night, but there was no belt.
Yeah.
It's a lineal championship. There's no belt. Come on, man. They got enough belts, everybody else. So, I mean, he's a champion. He won in Vegas. It's big time, but no belt.
Yeah. Anyway, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hey, listen, you know what? We got to call out somebody.
Who's that?
We need Jerome Jurinovich to give us a call, like, right now.
Really?
How come he want to hang out with you and not me? Like he specific, like something you said having to do with the church's chicken.
You think that's what it was?
I think it had something to do with that. Ken, if Jerome Jurinovich calls, put him right through because we want to find out why him, not me, and I think it had something to do with chicken.
You think? Not just chicken, but free chicken.
Well, exactly. He's a part of the media. Media doesn't want free stuff. What are you talking about, Sam? That never happens at events. Did he send me a text? Well, I want to hang out with Sam.
Oh, man. Why?
Right after you told that chicken story. Anyway, what has to happen next in your mind? Because as we talked about earlier, I'm of the opinion that, I think you hung on to this phrase, a concerted effort needs to be applied to making sure that we, boxing fans, platforms around the country, follow the American boxing team as they head into the next Olympics
next
in 2020,
Olympics. Okay.
And hope that a star emerges from that group
that
we can follow moving forward.
I buy that.
And it would be a 50-50 sort of working relationship. It won't be all relying on Bob Arum and Golden Boy and Don King and people like that. These guys are going to control social media. They'll be able to control some of that.
Those are the guys that kind of run it, though, and that's the whole thing. I mean,
you can work it in tandem, though.
Somebody has to be the person that's going to get the money to go for it, and that's the thing about it, and that's what those guys do. They come up with the people who are going to put the cash and support it, and they're the ones who've done it for years. And you like you said, I agree with you. You hope at some point they say, if we could just put everything together on the same page, couldn't it be so much better for the game and for the sport? And so that's what you hope going forward, that you have that. Other than that, these guys we have now, we got some heavyweights that are interesting. We have some that are you know, entertaining. They box and they do things with a flair, and I think that's what we miss with the heavyweights. Not just guys who are good athletes that can box, but can do things with a flair, with some personality. We've been missing that from our boxing, and that's what Tyson Fury kind of brings back. Now we want the rematch with Deontay Wilder. That's what we're looking at. Fury, I think, I'm reading something here from a press association last night, saying he revealed that his schedule to fight again in September or October in New York. That's another fight then, and then the rematch with Wilder, the WBC champion, will maybe happen in the first half of next year. So we're talking about early next year before that happens, provided that Wilder wins his next tune-up fight. Meanwhile, we're not getting anywhere closer to Anthony Joshua, who has a rematch with the Ruiz for the other heavyweight title belts. Interesting time just to rig out who's got, has to fight who and what has to happen. But once again, that's the thing that, you know, that UFC and MMA have been winners with. They've been able to, like, put people together right after they win. Who's next in line? Let's put them together. And we've been forced to wait by boxing. Hopefully, like you said, with the heavyweights we have now, let's get the fights. Let's make the fights we want to see. We're going to get to see Triple G and Canelo. We're going to get to see that again.
Right.
That's a fight that we want to see. Well, give us that in the heavyweight division, too.
All right, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We got to switch gears.
Why?
Because we have you-know-who on the line.
Who we got?
All right, we have you-know-who on the line. What's who he? Just reached out to us. Our own Drew, a former coworker. I don't know if you were here when but he's an OG. He's one of the original six.
Yes.
He was here when we opened the doors. Jerome Jurenovich, you hear him pre-game for the Braves, pre-game for the Hawks, post-game for both, too. And for some reason, he wants to hang out with you.
Well, first of all, that was pretty obvious. The man is rattling off one club and one restaurant after another. And Greg Clarkson, for the last 15 years, says, I'm going to get you in a movie. I'm going to get you in a movie. I'm still waiting on that call. Meanwhile, Sam is whining and dining and just partying all around town. Who do you think I would rather hang out with?
Yeah, you obviously weren't listening 5 minutes before that because I was talking about taking Pops over to the Gold Club.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well.
There a time or two myself, haven't we all?
Jerome, how are you, man?
I'm fantastic. On my way into the ballpark today, hoping the Braves will turn things around after a disappointing one last night, after arguably their best win of the season on Friday. That place was rocking on Friday. I've never seen SunTrust like that in 3 years.
That's big. That's big. Of course, today is Father's Day. And already today, you got to give us a full circle because we had Cooter Swanson, Dansby Swanson's dad on, and we had Walter Banks on this morning.
Oh, so the great Walter Banks. Bobblehead coming up for him soon.
Yeah. What do you think of this weekend? I mean, Greg says we got a lot of baseball to play, and true enough, we do. I think this weekend is big because of who the Braves are playing, because of what happened when the Braves saw them the first week of the season. And I think that's what makes this weekend so big and important.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. I don't know what Major League Baseball was thinking, but you have the Phillies and the Braves to open the season, then they don't play again until the middle of June. It's just crazy. Obviously, right now, these are the two teams that are going to be battling it out for this division. I wouldn't sleep on the Mets. There's still plenty of time left. And the Nationals, as we know, no matter how talented they are, they can't win big games. So I think it's a three-team race. But you really want to send a message. And you're right, Sam. And they came in here hitting the ball, much like the Pirates did. But the Pirates' pitching failed them over four games. And you would think that the Phillies would do the same, even though they were hitting, because their starters have decent numbers, but their ERAs are ridiculous. So I was hoping for actually a sweep. The good news is, even if they lose today, they're still in first place. But we don't want to think about negativity. We want to take two out of three right now and tell them, look, the Braves are the team to beat in this division.
Jerome Jurenovich joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hey, a guy that you probably remember when he was here in town, Gil Tyree, joined us earlier. And Gil did not have a positive outlook on this Phillies team, despite the fact that they're sitting in second place. He had issues with the pitching staff. He's got big issues with Gabe Kapler and decisions that he's made, and feel that they are not going to be sitting anywhere atop the division when it's all said and done. When you look at this Phillies team, were you a Phillies fan, would you have some concerns?
Well, let me just say this. I think if the Braves can avoid a major injury, I think they win this division, even though they have some bullpen issues. I won't discount the Phillies. I don't think the Phillies are going to win it, but I still think they're going to be around there at the end because their starters still have experience. Remember, this team was about a year or two ahead of the Braves on the rebuild, and they have Nurse in the back of that bullpen, and even though he didn't get the job done on Friday, he's still a quality reliever. Now, this team lost McCutchen, and they got Herrera on suspension, although that is supposed to be addressed this coming week, I think tomorrow, actually. And they made a couple of acquisitions. You know, they pick up Bruce. He's been banging the heck out of the ball, and Kingery is just a very good player. They just can't find a spot for him. So they have, look, in the offseason, they went all in. You know, Segura has been hitting. He's been a tremendous pickup for him. They have an awful lot of veterans. And as we know, when you come down that stretch, August, September, that's when the young guys start looking around. They'll never admit it, but they're looking left and right. What are we doing? What's going on? Where guys like a Jay Bruce, who has been through the wars, can actually get it done. We have seen it here firsthand with a guy like Markakis. Those guys are so overlooked, but they are steady, professional ball players, and they're the kind that you want in August and September. And Philly has a bunch of those up and down their lineup.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Got Jerome Jurinovich this morning, and I'm going to promise you, man, I'm going to get you some chicken, and we're going to hit them spots that I talked about early in the show. I got to ask you something about some last night, a heart-stopping moment with Sean Newcomb. What do you know? What's the scenario for him? And what have you heard?
Well, I'm sure he's waking up today with an awful headache. Look, I have seen, I don't know how many. Look, we've all seen millions of baseball games. If you add them up between the three of us and those people listening right now, I've never seen a ball hit a player in the head like that and caroom so far off. I mean, that went up into the netting. That would have been easy 10 to 12 rows back. That is unbelievable. We've seen him hit the guys in the legs and the bodies and bounce off to another infielder. But I've never seen a ball bounce that high off a player's head like that. I was stunned that they did not have to cart him off that field or that he didn't walk off dizzy and disoriented. He was articulate in the post game. You could tell he wasn't fazed. All the tests came back negative, but I'm sure he's going through a concussion protocol. So they're going to lose him for a couple days here until that plays itself out. But for the most part, I think that young man is extremely, extremely lucky.
Jerome, I'm going to ask you to switch hats here for a minute before we let you go and talk about the NBA. You, obviously, with your relationship with the Hawks, has the season ended? And we watched the movement going on. It just started yesterday. Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. We saw how the Warriors became a mass unit toward the end. And as movement plays out, how do you feel about the Hawks' chances of maybe doing something a little bit different than what they originally planned, given the injuries and what the Lakers have now done?
Well, I think the key to the Hawks, and I got to give Travis Schlenk credit, he is a man who is staying true to his word. He says he's going to do whatever he can this year to make some moves in the draft, and then next year he is going to go after one of those prize free agents. And that's why he's acquiring guys like Crabbe, so he can get those expiring contracts and get them out of town next year and have even more cap space. So I truly in my heart believe that he is going to make another move and package some of those picks to move up. I know they really want the fifth pick. They really want the fifth pick. And if they don't get it, they'll probably stay and maybe get Cam Reddish at eight. We'll have to wait and see on that. He's not done making moves. That guy's a wheeler and a dealer, keeps it close to the vest. But let's face it, you got to give him leeway and let him do what he wants to do. First 2 years at 19, he gets Collins and then he gets Herter. The man has an eye for talent. I am very confident that we'll come out of this draft with at least two quality players that will help in the building process. But this isn't the year they're going to go after a big name. They're going to wait one more year, and then we'll see who's on the open market at that time. And who knows? You just never know the way these guys, they sign these contracts, but then they have like one-year options or they get a buyout or whatever. So you don't know what's going to be available. And by the way, the Lakers, now they're going after Kemba Walker. That's going to be unbelievable if they can pull that off. They'll have a big three out there before you know it.
Yeah, they're putting that all together. It's amazing how it's all falling into place. I thought they'd at least wait until after Toronto had their parade tomorrow, but I guess not. He's going to sleep it right in.
You know what I'm really shocked is that they're not going after Kawhi, because he has made it known since long before he left San Antonio that he wants to play in Los Angeles. He's a Southern California guy, and he wants to get to L.A. before his career is out. Now, you know, obviously you don't want to just start hitting him with those questions on the day that he wins a championship and an MVP of the finals. But you know in the back of his mind, he don't want to stay out there in that cold the rest of his life. Who does?
Nah, nobody wants to be out there. But listen, I mean, think about it and want to get your opinion on this. I'll give you the two scenarios. You can go to the Clippers, meaning Kawhi. You go to the Clippers, you got Doc Rivers, you got Ballmer with all the money in the world and Jerry West pulling the strings in the background. Or the Lakers with LeBron, now Anthony Davis, and the unknown at point guard. What looks more attractive to you?
I would go to the Lakers because I don't think LeBron's going to be there that long, and then you're going to be sitting alongside Anthony Davis for maybe the top 1-2 punch in the NBA. You know, they're holding on to some good young talent there, and, you know, it's the Lakers. Look, they always get a good big man. I would go to the Lakers because they are always going to be a premier team, and the Clippers, even with Doc, and we all love Doc, and he's a great coach, but they're the Clippers. They're like the Angels in L.A. They're always going to be second fiddle to the Dodgers. Clippers are always going to be second fiddle to the Lakers.
You say that even with the logo they're running things now?
Well, I mean, hey, I love Jerry West. He was my childhood idol. But look what he did in Memphis. And I'm not disparaging him because he did great work with the Lakers. He was fantastic with Golden State. But, still a Clipper.
But it's not an easy choice, but I get what you're saying, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate it. I appreciate you reaching out this morning.
Hey, I love listening to you guys on the way into work, man.
And
if keep giving Sam these stories about when he was young and he was running the town.
And the next time you get 10 to 12 hours free where you don't have to be anywhere, I can stick you in a movie. You just don't have that much time free. That's the problem.
You know what? I'm going to take you up on that. And if that means running coffee back and forth, I'm going to decline. I want to be in front of the camera.
Oh, no,
I
want
to be one of those 10,000 people walking down the street.
I'll get you in front of the camera, man. You just get that time off. And Jerome Jurenovich.
You guys are fantastic.
Thanks, man. Get us a win, man. Out there at SunTrust today. Joining us here, an original.
Yeah.
He's a 92.9 The Game original.
Yep, he is
so,
that.
Always love having Jerome on here. And shout out to Brian Jordan, too, his partner out there.
Yep.
Listen, we got to talk more NBA action and get some thoughts on some of those younger guys coming up into the NBA. A lot of draft choices, and a guy who was following college and can tell you whose games fit best is our own DeShawn Tate. He's up next. Sam McGreg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, nine floors up in the Kia Studios. Ken's on the other side of the glass. On this game day Sunday morning and Father's Day Sunday morning, happy Father's Day to all of the dads around the area. And, man, hope you enjoy your day and, get a chance to do so what you want to do. And we don't make a big fuss about it like the moms. The moms want us to go stand in line.
That's why we should make a big fuss about it.
Well, no, I mean,
listen, we're never going to knock them off the top perch. So we just continue just giving us as much accolades as possible.
Okay.
Right?
We'll do that.
I don't mind being in that other spot. But there's dads out there who are acting like moms.
Yeah.
And are doing mom's jobs, right?
Who have to do that.
Okay, so.
Absolutely. They're playing that role. Very much.
I know one dude who ain't.
What's that?
He's on the phone right now.
He's on the phone right now.
Yeah, he is.
But he's got to be, man, he's got to be so excited after what started happening yesterday. It's on.
It's an interesting time right now.
Yes.
We talk to him normally during college basketball season, and he gives us the expertise that we need about some of these players that we haven't been following. Now we got the draft coming up. We got movement getting ready to start. Who's the best fit for this particular team? Well, that's been all thrown up in the air after the end of the NBA season with what happened in Golden State and what's going on with the Lakers and making this trade for AD. So let's get some clarity brought here. You ready?
Let's do it.
DeShawn Tate joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. How you doing, buddy?
Outstanding, Clark and Crenshaw, man. Top of the morning to you guys. Happy Father's Day to you guys. Father's Day to all the mothers sometimes that has to step in and play the role of the fathers. And, of course, that always works the same way on Mother's Day for some of the fathers that have to step in and play that role, too, like you guys were saying. I'm happy about this, man. The basketball season, I was thinking about this the other day where you have the football and all that good stuff, and the basketball almost doesn't stop. I was wondering, what am I going to be doing now that there's no more NBA finals, no more NBA basketball? But you got your summer league coming up, the Nike EYBL, so it doesn't stop. I feel a little bad for football to an extent because of that big, long break.
That's true. And I'll tell you what, the NBA didn't take long to get things rolling. I thought they would at least wait until after the parade for Toronto tomorrow before it got started yesterday in a big way. Did this surprise you that you feel like it would happen?
Pun intended, kind of trying to rain on the parade a little bit before they even get a chance to have it real good. I expected this. Yeah, I definitely expected this. I mean, when you're talking about a market, I mean, for crying out loud, it's called La La Land. It's one of the most elite level, markets that is out there, top two market, if you will, along with New York. And I think that they had to do something. They had to land a top player, and obviously it was kind of a steal in a sense for the Pelicans, who got multiple players, top draft picks out of this. I mean, between Lonzo and Ingram being a top three draft pick themselves, and getting a number one in their own, all for a guy who number one in Anthony Davis, who they weren't, didn't want to be there anymore anyway. And then on top of that, a guy who's questionably, gonna play a lot of times because he's always been injured. I'm not sure if he's played a full season without injuries. And in the event that he has, I mean, when he plays, he plays. When he doesn't, he doesn't. But there's sometimes when he doesn't see the floor sometimes, and that concerns me from a health standpoint for the Pels.
Sean Tate joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, with the trade being done yesterday with Anthony Davis going to the Lakers, you're the GM of the Pelicans. What do you start trying to put together? What type of players are you looking to put together around Zion down there?
Well, honestly, I would start trying to put together some players from, you know, some bigs if I can. This isn't the ideal draft for that, especially with the pick that they got at four. But it's starting to turn into, you know, everybody talks about the positionless basketball and all that good stuff. And I think that it can definitely be that. We don't even know what position Zion Williamson is going to play with this roster. But if you sit back and look at what, you know, if you sit back and look at what Jahlil Okafor did during some times yesterday, during some times of the season on last year, I think, or the earlier this year, I think he did a significant job of improving his game. And so ultimately what you want to go for is probably best player available. Now, is that player DeAndre Hunter? Is that player, you know, Jared Culver? I couldn't imagine this is a team that needs another wing to go along with Stanley Johnson and a couple of the others. But certainly you go with the best available, and whoever your guy is, if you don't package that up and try and get something else, maybe a trade with the Hawks perhaps, that's something that could be potentially in the works. If you decide to hold on to it, you'll probably have to go with the best available, which happens to likely be a wing between Culver and Hunter.
Okay. All right, that's all well and fine. But I was waiting for you to say something, and I didn't hear it, and I want to include you, Sam, in on this question. I think that with the loss of Anthony Davis and what's down there right now presently with this team is you have to find the right, and that's the key phrase, the right veteran presence on this team to coach this guy up, to show him what the NBA is like. All those little intangibles, not to play on the court, all the stuff that gets guys in trouble, that they work maybe too hard at or focus on the wrong thing. I mean, wouldn't you agree that that veteran presence isn't there and that's what's needed? And I think as important as anything else, any other player on that Pelicans team right now. So he doesn't have to take, two steps back, I guess. I'm sorry?
You said what presence?
No, I'm saying there isn't a presence. They need a veteran presence on that team. But what veteran? Who's out there right now that's available that can help coach this guy up as far as a player?
You know what? I'm not even sure that I ideally think outside of, you know, just a typical role player, somebody that they can go and get in free agency. Obviously, I don't think you'll need like a super huge big name or anything like that. I think that you get some veteran guys that can come in off the bench. I mean, in the type of position, not saying this particular player, but in someone in the position of a Vince Carter here in Atlanta, and what he did for the team last year, putting someone, now who that is, I don't really have an answer for, and I hate that personally, but you have to have that type of person to be able to come in and kind of school the other guys, someone that's not going to ask for, you know, be needed for a ton of minutes, things like that can kind of help them out, you know, at least for a season or two.
That's the guy, and as you said, and as I said, that person's not easy to identify, but I think that's the focus, and I think that's what New Orleans really needs to look for first. You know, because you don't know what kind of hybrid player Zion's going to be. He could play a couple different positions.
Yep.
So just saying, yeah, we need a point guard to go with this guy, or we need a center to go with this guy. We don't know what he's going to have, but he needs to understand, I would think, for the long haul, the league. It's like when, you know, they have Herm Edwards sit and talk to the rookies in the NFL coming in. Y'all need to notice. Don't see 12 o'clock.
I don't think there's a specific player by position, I should say that. I don't think there's someone that says, hey, you need someone that typically would play this position to come in and help. I think it's a guy that could play any position. And again, I hate to kind of reference it all over again, but Vince came in and not only helped the point guards, but he helped the wings. He helped the shooting guards, the power fours, the small fours. Someone that could help from an off-the-court standpoint as well as on-the-court, because it's someone who's been around so long to see different players play in different positions. That's kind of more so what I was referencing.
Spend time on the waitfort.com hotline with Deshaun Tate. He is the guy who keeps an eye on all things basketball for us here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social at Tate's Take Sports. I'm sure he will be on there this week as we approach draft night coming up How will things at Golden State affect this week, Deshaun? You got two players who are due for big bucks and look like both of them won't play any basketball or very little basketball in the coming season.
Yeah, for sure. I think that it definitely will affect it one way or another. I mean, I think where they have to be really careful at is to try and get someone to be able to come in and play a role in the sense of where you have your McKinney and Livingston who's getting up there in age as well. And I know Iguodala's getting up there, and he's not going to, you know, there's not very much cartilage left probably on those knees, very much mileage on that either. So just getting someone to be able to come in that's not expecting to be, you know, an elite level player, but someone that can come in and contribute, play their role, and don't mind, you know, working within that system. And it's a unique system, but, you know, certainly you would imagine someone that can step in and hit some big time shots and kind of be a garbage person around the rim, kind of like a rim runner, ideally probably some youth. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's something that, you know, different organizations you have to go through at some times. And when you're looking at, you know, these injuries to Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, two guys that will be unlikely to come back next year, especially Kevin Durant, who I don't think will come back before playoffs, even if then, you know, they're going to have to carry a lot of the load on the players that they have. Draymond Green's going to have to step up. Obviously, Stephen Curry's going to have to carry a lot of that load as well, the same way he did through the NBA Finals. So I think that it's going to be interesting. I think that it's unfortunate, but I still like Golden State to still be okay because they have a very, very smart coach, and I don't see him getting out-coached too often. He's one of the best in the game and making adjustments.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Deshaun Tate. Following this week, folks, as we count down to the draft for the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks now with 6 picks. Obviously, we don't expect them to use all 6 of them, and we look at the possibly maybe package 1 or 2 in the first round to move up. We don't know. The options are the things that make it so exciting. Expect the unexpected, but one thing it seems for sure to happen, there's going to be some dealing going on for this Hawks team between now and Thursday.
Yeah, it definitely is. I spoke about it a little bit earlier. We're talking about, you know, the they could be trying to make a move with the Pelicans at number 4. I mean, that's ideal. And, of course, you know, the Cavs are right there at 5 and the Phoenix Suns at 6. I think somewhere right up in that realm is ideally where they want to package up. And I think that 8 and 10 may not have been enough with those 2 picks to try to move up. And with that being said, you know, that's where they kind of have to acquire that 17 and maybe throw that in the mix as well. But after, you know, after Prince and that trade with Torian Prince, ideally they're going to have to look forward to a wing as well. And that's where you do have that Culver, Reddish, Hunter right up in that range. My sources have been screaming, you know, Cam Reddish since January. I think that Culver is certainly right there in that mix of conversation as well, but certainly that's a team that needs, I would imagine that's a team that certainly needs to go for a small forward. And then you're even going to see, like, everybody talks about how the draft is top heavy. All the drafts are always going to be top heavy for the most part, and then you're going to be able to find some hidden gems along the way. I think they're in a perfect position with 35, 41, and 44. I think this is one of those drafts where you'll find some better players at the beginning and midway through the second round, more than you will right around that 17 spot, arguably even that 10 spot. So you patch that up, you hold on to your second rounders. I think that you got something brewing there in Atlanta, especially if you're trying to have the mindset, which I think Atlanta does, of building through the draft and not so much through free agency this year at least.
There he is. Deshaun, yeah, man, we appreciate it.
He got us ready.
I ain't even going to ask you.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you guys.
I'm going to wait for my college questions and what you think Beilein's going to do at the pro level and what you think Juwan Howard's going to do next year at Michigan and everything else college related. So, you know, we're going to wait because we're going to pace ourselves. And
works. I don't mind putting the University of Michigan questions on ice for the next time. I wasn't really anxious to answer those questions. At Tate Take Sports on the Twitter, TATESTAKE Sports. And I have a really awesome podcast with one of our colleagues, Gordon Robinson, called Hitting the Hardwood. It's a weekly podcast, 110% all of the content, NBA draft, NBA free agency, and NBA summer league. And I'll have to come on with you guys while I'm out there at the summer league, man, out there in Las Vegas this year. So looking forward to it. You can follow that podcast on Twitter at Hit Hardwood 929. That's at HITHARDWOOD 929. Thank you, guys.
Go. All right. There he is. There he is, man.
That is DeShawn Tate. Enjoy your day, man. Happy Father's Day. We got a red shirt Sunday. Not the one you expected, but we're going to talk about it next. U.S. Open. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. I haven't said that in a few breaks.
Why not?
You gotta remind, I don't know. You got to remind me of that, man. Got to welcome, you know, got to say good morning to Georgia.
Yeah.
First started off in Atlanta, but we go all kinds of areas.
Happy Father's Day. Want to make sure people are following us on all our social media. We're social people here.
Yes, we are. And by the way, if you ever got anything to say to us, be it text, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, or if you want to get on the show, like we had Jerome Jurinovich and Dansby Swanson's father on earlier, and Gil Tyree, who was spitting Philadelphia nails this morning.
Yeah,
and
Walter Banks,
Cole Gibson brought us up on eSports, 404-741-0929. That is the number on this Father's Day. Now, do you have your Father's Day meal chosen? Like, you know, do you get to choose, or are you just being taken someplace?
I have no idea. I'm so clueless.
You teed one up right there.
I have no idea. For somebody who ran down chicken and places to go a little while back.
You got my mouth all kinds of watering.
Oh, I have no idea, man. I just, you know, just go along with whatever. I'm okay.
Hey, shout out to Big Mike Livingston over at Lucky's.
Yeah.
He brought you up yesterday. See, this yesterday, because I was in Chicago last week, and he was actually traveling. My stepson had a birthday.
Okay.
And so we celebrated his birthday yesterday. Where he got to pick his birthday location where he wanted his meal, and he picked Lucky's.
Ah.
So we went out there, and Michael's out
there. Nice choice.
But I just said hello to Michael, and he just gave me like a commercial. All right, we got a new Philly cheesesteak, and we got this, and we got that. And tell Sam we don't have any clam chowder, but we can get him something else. And they got a whole new dessert. And you are associated with that place.
Oh, it's with clam nice chowder, man. The clam chowder, man, when he has it over there, it is quite good.
Well, and it gets a little bit more nippy outside.
It's not to be missed.
Anyway, so you don't know where you're going and being taken for Father's Day.
I do not know.
I'm
cool with it.
We got primetime golf.
We do.
It's a red shirt Sunday.
But Tiger's not in contention to win this week. But he will. You know what? He'll probably go out today and have a great round. Last day, he's got nothing, you know, to lose. So why not go out and just have some fun? And it's a course that he's played well over the years, but just not this time. He's at even par and just wasn't able to get things. Not able to get things going and get any momentum going. But Gary Woodland is still
11 under par.
He's still 11 under par. We'll see if he pinches himself and wakes up and says, what the heck am I doing leading the U.S. Open today if he goes out there and continues to play?
Well,
you got Rose there. You got Brooks Koepka. People looking at who's right there. Koepka, that's still at 7 shots. He's at 7 under par. That's still 4 shots back. You got McIlroy at -6, and you got Kuchar at -5. Along with Ustason, who's also at -7, there's a good leaderboard. Tiger's not there.
No, but I wouldn't say a leaderboard where Kuchar's like 6 strokes back.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
We don't remember him coming, you know, making up ground like that. Koepka, yes. In fact, he did it. You know, last time he won this, he came back from I think it was 5. But Rory, maybe Kuchar, I don't know.
But those are some names to watch for as he played it. You know, Woodland, he plays Wilson. I don't know if I forgot Wilson was still doing golf.
I can't think of 2 people ever.
You don't hear. I mean, most of the stuff today is you don't hear Wilson golf.
Just like you don't hear Nike either that much anymore since Tiger got rid of them.
They dropped. Yeah. They dropped theirs, but I didn't know that Wilson was still as prominent in on tour.
Hey, speaking of which, either way, this dude is printing money today, meaning Tiger Woods.
Yes.
With Frank. Yeah, what's the deal with
Frank?
What's the deal with Frank?
I didn't know.
For those of you who didn't know this.
Frank is the name of this driver's cover head. Remember, whenever you show, you see his golf bag.
The big tiger.
You see the big tiger. I didn't know the golf head had a name.
Well, somebody at Nike in a meeting decided to name it.
It's named Frank. Okay. And so earlier this, a couple of months, about a month or so ago, they just quietly, they put out a logo. They got a cap with Frank the Tiger on it. Right. And they had T-shirts.
Yep.
You could get the T-shirts, and I showed you the T-shirts. Black T-shirt with the tiger on it. But then they dropped the polo without any fanfare or anything, just put it on the Nike website on a Friday.
Right.
and the website exploded.
Yep, people, that's what happens.
People bought all them polos up, and they were selling them. I'm seeing one here on eBay for like $250. I mean, you know, and so the polos are there, but you're going to have to fork some money out for those things.
Yeah, well, don't go to – yeah. I mean, people bought them off Nike, going to eBay, and they're going to sell them for a profit, but they're going to probably reload.
Well, they will, but they're not in stores or any of the places you go to. I mean, you got to get it online for now. But it's a different – and Tiger doesn't wear it a lot. He wore it during the practice round where he did his press day.
Right.
He wore it that day, but he hasn't worn it when he's been competing in the round. He's still wearing the TW that he's worn all these years.
And you're also not seeing that shirt design that he was wearing when he started coming back last year, that little small – that I don't know if it's a no collar, but
mock collar.
He's not wearing that as much anymore. Got all the money out of that.
Yeah.
So he'll come up with something else.
But so while he's not winning this weekend – he's winning.
He's still making money.
He's winning with this Frank the Tiger. He's winning with this Frank the Tiger polo that you got to go on eBay to buy one. So, I mean, that's something to watch out for Tiger and Nike. They're still creating stuff for him.
I'm going for Justin Rose. I'm going for Kuchar. I'm going for McIlroy.
Okay.
I don't know that they'll win it. Justin's got the best shot at it. Woodland, I don't have a problem with him. I don't have an opinion about him one way or the other. So if he wins it, God bless him, and I hope he has a very good – continues – with a very good career. During the time that Mr. Woods was not winning major after major, there were a lot of guys who reared their golf heads and then have gone away. I can't remember last time I heard anything from Mike Weir. I can't remember last time I heard from some of these guys.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm saying these guys who stepped over or around Tiger to win majors and yet have disappeared.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering when the next time we're going to hear something from Bubba Watson. You know what I mean?
Who missed the cut this time.
Exactly.
And maybe this particular course isn't a good one from him. We will hear from Bubba again. He gets to the course that suits him well, and he'll do that. But
my thing is, I don't want Bruce Koepka as the number one golfer in the world for a sustained period of time, and he be the man. Not because he doesn't have the game. Again, this goes back to the conversation we had earlier. All sports are a TV show now.
Yeah. Well,
he's
TV
not
show.
Good TV.
He's good. He's well, great, if you he's
like
great
the,
TV.
Okay, then if you like the black hat or you like the hat that isn't welcoming, then he's your guy. He's your dude. He's the Tony Stewart. He is when it comes to being in that arena to I'm going to give you my opinion.
We kind of done that to Patrick Reed at the Masters last year.
Well, he embraced it. He embraces that sort of thing.
We kind of made him be that guy. I think Koepka's, I think people want to see feats of athletic dexterity, and you want to see it. That's Brooks Koepka. He's a guy who looked like he could play another sport, but he's playing golf, and he smacks the ball longer than anybody else. And I think people at that Tiger's back, I think people want to see more tournaments where they're closely paired together. That's the thing I think the PGA is hoping for
in the second coming
of Tiger. And we've had it a couple of times. We had it down in Augusta, so we had it some times when they were in proximity to each other. So I think that's the thing that they want to bring that out and see more personality from him when he's going up against Tiger in some of these tournaments.
Ken says we need another Reese on the golf tour, like a John Daly kind of guy. Yeah, we need a guy like that's what Ken thinks. But to your point, you don't want to have that.
Why not?
No, you don't want to have what you're describing.
Why?
As with one of them being 43 years old, you want to have
not?
It you, because he's not going to be playing that much longer. You want it with two guys that are in their either 20s or early 30s.
Better now
so
than
it
never.
Keeps, okay, well, yeah, that's one way to look at it, better but you now, don't want that
as a
sport.
We're playing golf, not football.
As a sport, you don't want
you
these two
play,
guys to carry us for the next decade.
Until you're 50. It's golf
come
we're
on,
playing.
Sam. Come on, Sam. You're not going to dominate. You're not dominated at 45 years old. Who dominated at 45? Nicklaus got one. He was the outlier at 46. That's it. Tiger won at 43. Phil couldn't get – he barely made some noise, and he's going toward 48. Whoever's going against Koepka and going to be that neck and neck back and forth, if it's going to be somebody, needs to be in their early 30s. So you will be interested in following the sport for the next decade
or so.
Well,
it says just has to be Koepka.
Well, he seems to be the guy right now. He's winning major after major.
He's the only guy out there.
He's the one right now winning major after major.
There are other guys coming up, too.
I'm hoping it's not him.
The great thing that's having Tiger out there is that he gets to be toe-to-toe with those guys. That's great entertainment. That's going to pull people in to watch.
Well, that's true.
That's great for him.
That's true.
Yeah.
One more shot at some jobs, and I'm going to tell you, if you weren't listening earlier or don't know, the significance of tomorrow's date in the world of sports. One more time. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.